First of all, I want to thank you for all that you have done for us once again. You know, that was my third birthday cake. This is not really helping me get in missionary shape, but it was great. I love cake and strawberry cake, too. And we have been so blessed by being with you. Your faithful support and prayers when we're not with you, we do know you're praying for us and supporting us, and that is so encouraging to us and obviously essential to what God is doing there in the Philippines and Southeast Asia in the ministry that the Lord has given us. So you definitely, and in a way, even more than our other supporting churches, what we do in the Philippines is an extension and a part of what you are doing. We are part of this church, and so you have, we're not very, when we're on the mission field, we don't faithfully attend here, but we are still a part of you, and you have an extension over there. First of all, I'd like us to turn in our Bibles to Psalm 63, and this is something I don't usually do. I don't really have a message prepared on this, but this is my life verse. And most of our really brief time, this is going to be a briefer time, and you're probably glad about that, a little sleepy after lunch. But this is going to be an illustration of really why this passage is my life verse. So Psalm 63. And before we look at this, why don't we pause to pray? Our Father, we thank you for all that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ, all that you want to do in us, through us. Thank you that we have experienced the rich grace of Jesus Christ, and that you have been so good in so many various areas of our lives. And we pray that you would help us to draw near to you, to rejoice in you, and most of all, as we sang in these three songs this afternoon service, to rejoice in the salvation that you have given to us. Help us, Lord, to see the cross and remember how grace and mercy found us. And we ask that you would draw us to see you and your glory and to be more like you and to live more for you. We pray this for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 63, you can see there's an inscription there, a Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And that makes even more dramatic what he says as he begins in verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. So those two verses are my life passage. But let's read also verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Now we have done that as we have sung the three songs that we did. Really all of them, either in part or in whole, are praising the Lord for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We are praising the Lord for his loving kindness. And when I prayed about this opportunity, the Lord impressed upon me to share my life testimony. Paul often used this testimony to convey spiritual truths to crowds of people, and it helped those people to receive it as they heard what the Lord did in his life. And we know from biblical history that there's a lot of records in the Bible of what God did in people's lives, and those are instructive to us. When we read and hear about people's lives, we learn something from that. When we see what God has done, how God is sovereign, how God works. But probably what encouraged me the most to share with you my life testimony was something I read a few days ago in my devotions. At the grand opening of the temple, King Solomon and the people of Judah, of Israel, offered so many sacrifices that they could not be counted for number. And after they did that, then the priests brought in the Ark of the Covenant into the Holy of Holies. Again, this was the grand opening of the now completed temple. After those priests came back out of the Holy of Holies and the holy place, there were musicians, Levites, who were commissioned to sing and to play. There were 120 trumpeters who played. There were others on stringed instruments that played. And then there were many who sang. And what they sang was a praise to the Lord. And these were the words: He is good, for his mercy endureth forever. The Lord is good, for his mercy, his loving kindness endures forever. And in verse 3, you see that. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. And after that happened, then the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And the priest could no longer minister because God's glory had filled God's house. We need to see God's glory. And one way we see God's glory is that we hear of praises to the Lord for his loving kindness. I'd like to share with you some of the many, many loving kindnesses of the Lord to me and to my family. My father is a Japanese Hawaiian. He was born in Culver City, California, and at the age of 3, he grew up. They moved to Hawaii, where he grew up. My father is from a broken home, and after he graduated from high school, he came to America, to the mainland, of America, to, as he says it, to see the world. So where did he decide to go? Chicago. And he wanted to go to trade school here, get a job. And he was renting a room in the YMCA, and money started running out. And as I understand, my dad was down to about one meal a day. But again, the Lord showed his loving kindness. And he was walking by. He saw on a little notice that there was an assistant for a technician that checks weighing scales. And this technician needed an assistant. My dad got that job, and that was the loving kindness of the Lord physically, financially, but even greater than that, during this time period, he met a Japanese family, a Japanese-American family, and they kind of adopted my father and invited him over to his house, and he had meals with them that also helped finances. But one of the greatest thing about that was they were believers. And they brought him to an evangelical church in Chicago, which still stands today. And that's where my father heard the gospel and was saved. My mother, she came to Chicago to work as a nurse at Michael Reese Hospital, which no longer exists. Near downtown, south side, I think. And She was along with a group of other nurses, and one of those other nurses was invited to go to a Christian fellowship of InterVarsity, Christian fellowship. And as Filipinos are used to doing, they don't want to go alone, so they take somebody else with them. And so this lady took my mother with her, and at this IVCF meeting, it was my mother who was saved. After my father was saved, God had clearly changed his heart, and he wanted to serve the Lord, and the Lord has used him in serving at a couple churches, most of all First Baptist Church of Cicero, and again, that no longer exists, but he was the song leader. In fact, when I was listening to the song Surely Goodness and Mercy, and that last chorus that you only sing after the last stanza, I thought of my father leading in that song. He was the song leader, adult Sunday school superintendent. He taught the junior class Sunday school. He was the treasurer, financial secretary, deacon, really the right-hand man of my father. But that started when he got saved. And after he got saved, he wanted to be equipped more to serve the Lord. So he enrolled at Moody Bible Institute. And one of his assignments that first year as a student at Moody Bible Institute was to interview a foreigner. And he heard that there were a lot of foreign students at this IVCF outings. So he went to those, and obviously he met my mother, and they've been interviewing one another ever since, over 50 years now. So I had the blessed privilege of growing up in a Christian home. Both my father and mother were saved before they were married, and it really is amazing how God brought them to himself. And I'm sure every one of us would be amazed at how, if we look back and we think of how God worked in our lives and gave us the opportunity to hear the gospel, we would also praise the Lord for his loving kindness, because none of us really deserve to have ever heard the gospel one time. And we did, and not only that, God opened our hearts to receive it. When I think of how my father and my mother got saved and how he brought them together, I think of what Romans 11 describes. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. God's ways are amazing, are wonderful. And what Paul is describing there in Romans 11 is how God brings his mercy to people, people that would not otherwise be interested in God's mercy. But God is so wise and sovereign and amazing in how he works to bring people to the point of receiving his mercy. Even though I grew up in a Christian home, obviously that did not make me saved. I heard the gospel many, many times from my Sunday school teacher and others. When I was 5 years old, I asked my dad about how to get saved because I wanted to go to heaven. And he talked to me about that, and he helped me. One Sunday morning, I went forward in church, and my Sunday school teacher took me aside to give me the gospel. Mrs. Ada Emmert, Juanita Estes were the other. There were two teachers of the kindergarten class, and the kindergarten class, by the way, was named. They had different names for every Sunday school class, and the name of our kindergarten class was Noah's Ark, the Noah's Ark class. So I guess we were like little animals in there. But Mrs. Emmert took me aside, and she explained the gospel that I'd heard before. And I was ready to be saved. I wanted to go to heaven. And so she told me to pray and ask the Lord to save me. And I responded that I don't know how to pray. And I was kind of nervous, under pressure there. I was 5 years old. And so she said, okay, repeat after me. But you have to mean this from your heart. Now, I could have been saved that way by repeating phrase by phrase a prayer of salvation. But in my case, I did not, because I remember distinctly focusing on making sure I repeated the words of that prayer exactly, you know, not messing up. Otherwise, my salvation is in great danger. So I want to make sure I get all those words right. So my hope was in the words of that prayer, not the person of Jesus Christ. But when I was 9 years old, one Sunday night in church, they showed a film, The Burning Hell. And that helped me to realize just how real hell was. And there was no way I wanted to go there. But there was in my mind a doubt. You know, am I 100% sure, maybe 90% sure I'm going to go to heaven? But after seeing that film, 10% of possibility, even 1% of possibility, was far too much for me. I didn't want any possibility that I was going to burn in hell for eternity. I went home, and as I lay on my bed that night, I simply prayed, Lord, if I'm not saved, please save me. And that was when I put my trust in Jesus alone to save me. And he did. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that was the verse that has helped me so much not to doubt my salvation. And there were times that I doubted, but the Lord brought me back to that verse, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And did I call upon the Lord? And I did. Honestly, from my heart, I was asking him to save me, and God had promised he shall be saved. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I believed. I put my trust and dependence on Jesus alone to save me. And he did. After my salvation, the Lord continued to work in my life. It was clear I had different desires. I had a new heart that wanted to please God more, in fact, even serve God. But I had a problem in my life, and that problem was about this big, shaped like a rectangle. It was a television. I watched probably 25, 30 hours of television a week, and not all of it bad. I would try to make sure I got home as early as possible from school, and I could catch the Cubs game, like the seventh inning, maybe eighth inning. That wasn't bad, except when they would lose, which was often back then. But there were a lot of other things I watched that, again, some weren't bad, some were not good, definitely. And even if it wasn't bad, that really sapped spiritual desire, a desire for God's word, to serve him, and kind of neutralize that. And so I struggled in my Christian life. I really praise God for the blessing, the huge blessing of not only my church, but being here at Marquette Manor Baptist Academy, my teachers. We would have school camp, and that would be the second time I would go to Camp Joy every year. We would go to Camp Joy in the summer, then school camp, Camp Joy in the fall. And God was always working in my heart. Sometimes I would make decisions, like at camp or like in chapel at school. But then those decisions would only last for a day, 3 days, maybe a week. Because again, that TV and my choice to watch it so much was sapping spiritual desire from me. But when I was 16 years old, that was the turning point in my Christian life. Again, I was at camp, and the preacher preached, and I don't recall everything, really much of all, anything, much at all of what he said. But at the invitation, the Lord worked in my heart. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me to surrender my life to him. And I kind of argued with the Lord in my heart. You know, Lord, I've done this before, and I failed. I can't live out the Christian life that you want me to live. And the Holy Spirit continued speaking to me until I did finally yield and go forward and get alone. And I didn't even talk to a counselor at that point. I got alone, and I just cried out to God. And I said, Lord, I have made this decision before, but I really mean it this time. I want to live for you. Please help me. And the difference in that decision, and there was a difference. I saw it in the results. After that camp, I started having daily devotions. And I'd started before, but this time I continued every day being in God's Word. And really, there is no substitute for any of us. Sermons are helpful. Going to church is essential. But daily yourself being in God's Word, that's what helped me to continue to live each day the Christian life that God had empowered me to live in the first place. You know, God's Word is the word of grace. And through God's Word, he gave me grace or spiritual enablement, power to live the life that he wanted me to live, to obey. And when I look back and I wonder, what was the difference in my heart decision that time in comparison to the other decisions I made, the times I made those decisions before? What was the difference in my heart? And I think there were two. One was my heart was more complete in its surrender. You know, I wanted to live for God before, and that's why I made those decisions before. But this time, it was like it was God alone that I wanted. I didn't want to live for the Lord along with other things in my life. All I wanted in life was God and to please God. And that was when God really helped me. And a second difference was I was more dependent upon the Lord because I had failed countless times before. And I knew I could not live the Christian life in my own strength. I needed God to enable me, to do it through me, Christ living through me. And when I depended upon the Lord, like I should have in the first place, when I was fully dedicated to the Lord, like I should have been in the first place, surrendered to him, that's when I saw real progress and growth in my Christian life. You know, God gives grace to the humble. And I think God was humbling me through those years. And when I really was humble, and something I still am having daily to work on, being humble, that's when God gives grace. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. And that exalting, so to speak, that includes the Lord showing his power and his glory to us. If you look back at Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2, I chose when I was a teenager as a reminder to myself of what I really was looking for. Early will I seek thee. That the idea is, with my whole heart and earnestly will I seek you. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. It's that soul thirst for God. And I realized that what my heart and soul was really thirsting for was God. And as a result, verse 5, here's the second my soul statement. My soul shall be satisfied, as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When your soul thirsts for God, and you realize that what your heart and soul is really wanting, hungering and thirsting for, is not pleasure or possessions or the exaltation of yourself, prestige, but what your heart is really searching for, thirsting for, is God, and you pursue God, you seek God with all your heart, then verse 5, your soul is satisfied. The Lord gives you what you really want and need. And then verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. And I had glimpses of seeing God's power and God's glory in my life. And one of the places was here, in this auditorium, in this sanctuary, seeing God's power work in my life and other lives, seeing a glimpse of God's glory as the preacher would preach, and that gave me a desire to want to be used by God for others to see God's power and God's glory. It was life-changing. And lastly, verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. And this is what God wants. We see that from the response to when the priests praised the Lord. Then the glory of the Lord filled the house. God wants his people to be people that praise him for his loving kindness. And when we forget that, forget his loving kindness, then we start to complain, get bitter. When we forget that, we start focusing on the waves and the winds of the storms of our life. We start focusing on the world and the things that are in the world. And one of the things I learned through that, through my struggles, was that, you know, you can't love the world and God at the same time. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And that if I really wanted God, I would have to separate my heart and life from worldly things. But in doing that, it's not a sacrifice. It's an investment that brings far greater dividends, satisfaction of soul, and a heart of peace and true joy and contentment. Not in the things of this world, not in our own circumstances of life, but real peace and joy and contentment in the Lord. Let's pray.